time to drink some gin.
Oh, best day of the week. What a good excuse to drink midweek. It's very healthy. It's very normal. We love Tuesday Booze Day.
And we're not just going to drink. We're going to taste it. We're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to find out about it. So we only need a little bit of a tasting, and then we can save the rest for Friday when we can drink it long and leisurely and enjoy the Friday talking about the topic. So that's what we're going to do. We are going to taste that gin.
Should Tuesday warm up?
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday warm up. We're just getting ready for the Friday. We're just having a little taste. And Emma's going to join us and tell us all about it.
Exactly. With the guest. So we can taste their gin, find out what we're drinking on Friday. And that gives you the opportunity to go and buy some if you want to join us in drinking it on Friday night.
Oh, very fancy.
It's Booze Day Tuesday. Hey, Emma.
Woohoo!
Hey, Anya. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi. Best day of the week.
Oh, yeah. And we got a good one this week, so it's okay. Mm. We already know it's good because we have drunk it before. This week, we are drinking Isle of Harris gin with our guest, Dr. Will Brownlee.
Very exciting.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Have we done Isle of Harris together, or have you guys done it before?
We haven't. We have had Isle of Harris before on the podcast, but
love it.
Pre-monkey.
Wow. I don't even remember those days.
I know.
They were so bleak and grey and without joy.
Exactly. It was just it's like prehistory, pre-monkey.
Yeah.
They were episodes that existed, but they weren't really as good as they should have been because we didn't get to taste the gin properly. So it's okay that we've had it before.
It is.
Because we get to have it again properly this time and taste it with you and find out about it. But we also know that it's okay. We're going to enjoy drinking it because we liked it.
It's not flavoured.
So, Booze Day Tuesday. Welcome, Will. We're going to be drinking Isle of Harris gin. And can you tell me why are we drinking this? Why have you chosen Isle of Harris?
Me? I have a confession to make. I don't know huge amounts about gin.
I have a confession to make, nor do I. And we've been doing the podcast for 6 series now, but luckily Emma does.
I hoped it wasn't a prerequisite to enjoy it. I just thought, oh, okay. Yeah, so anyway, the reason I picked the bottle is because we're up in Scotland and I love the West Coast, and the Isle of Harris is an excellent place. In fact, it's not the Isle of Harris, is it?
It is the Isle of Harris.
So that's the reason. I mean, not much more than that. And the bottle was very
beautiful. Oh, it
is stunning.
It is. Yeah. It's one of those that really does deserve a candle after it because it's so, so lovely.
I've got one on my mantelpiece right now with a candle in.
Yeah. And they also do special ones as well, don't they? They do different ceramic-y bottles and things as well that you can keep with candles. And I remember getting lost down their shop and trying to justify why I should buy all the other things just because they look so pretty.
I mean, the other reason why you absolutely should is because they only collaborate with local kind of tradespeople, artists, people like that. It's all about, well, Isle of Harris calls themselves the social distillery. And what they want to do is really build community on Harris. They want to provide job opportunities. They want to keep people on the island. I think it's probably less than 2,000 people live on the island itself. And a lot of people, you know, the kids go to school and then they grow up and then they leave the island and they don't have many reasons to stay or to come back. So things like
gin
Harris,
is the reason.
Gin is a damn good reason.
Yeah.
It's why I stayed at home.
They do actually talk about themselves as a whiskey distillery. So they set themselves up to be a whiskey distillery in the Outer Hebrides on the Isle, you know, famous for Tweed and all that. Mm. Get into whiskey. Came up with a gin. Put it in one of the most beautiful bottles. This is definitely the era. Isle of Harris brought in the era of the statement bottle for sure. It was one of the first ones that came out there that everyone went, Wow. And people realised, actually, it's a great way to get people to buy a bottle if it looks damn beautiful and you're going to put a candle in it and you're going to enjoy it, you know, for years to come when you finish the gin. The benefit from then, though, is, spoilers, the gin's actually really, really good as well. Yeah. So you'll probably buy another bottle after that.
So I've never, I don't think I've ever tasted it neat.
No,
I'm going to do it properly.
Well, exactly. And as we were saying, we've had Isle of Harris before, but it was on a really early episode before Emma came on board, helping us to really understand the gin that we were tasting rather than just glugging it with our guests. So, yeah, I haven't. All I know is I liked this when we had it last time, but I don't. I haven't done the tasting, don't know much about it, so I'm going to pour some in my glass.
Perfect, because, yeah, I guess you guys were just putting it in a glass, glugging tonic in, and then, oh, it's such a good sound.
How dare you imply, Emma, that I would ever glug tonic? I would never.
Glug gin? Yeah.
But, yeah, should we do our tasting? So give it a nose. Don't stick your nose too far into the glass. You don't want too many of those kind of alcohol fumes. If you've got some neat, you can basically swill it around your mouth a little bit and swallow it. And then the second time, you should be able to hold it in your mouth for a little bit longer because that alcohol shock will have hopefully dissipated from that first sip that you've swilled around. a lovely term, swill.
Now, I haven't done the sip yet because
I normally sip straight out the bottle. Will, go for it. I normally go straight.
And I was shocked because Anya wasn't. I'm like, this is the first episode. Anya's doing it neat from a glass, not the bottle.
I emptied the dishwasher, so I was like, I'll do it properly today.
I need to explain because I only got one glass in, so like, and I've already made my gin and tonic, so I was like...
You've got to do what you've got to do.
So I'm going to... But I want to... I'm listening to Emma. I'm going to do... As she says I'm going to smell from the bottle, but I am going to drink from the bottle. I'm sorry for being so...
No, do it.
We love it.
As long as you can try some neat, it's always interesting because then tonic and bubbles and effervescence and all that will change the flavour, I think, as well.
Oh, it's just good. Yeah. It's just good gin.
It's really good, isn't it?
Mm.
So their kind of statement botanical is sugar kelp, so a type of seaweed. They sustainably get it from around the island. They have a diver that goes out and picks it sustainably so it will continue, so they can continue the harvest. All very good.
And you can get a sugar kelp syrup or something as well that they sell, or spray. That's spray, it, to go with the gin.
Spray it over either your gin and tonic or, for me, spray it over your martini. Oh, it's beautiful.
Definitely.
Just enhances the aroma of it over the top of your glass as well.
That is the most niche thing I have ever heard. I love it.
I was thinking that.
But also...
I was thinking, so, a sugar kelp spray.
Haven't they marketed
Would you like
so
a little
well?
Sugar kelp?
Because Sarah's gone on the shop and has seen it and now really, really wants it. So their marketing team are doing a damn fine job.
Now, Emma, I do have a technical question for you.
No.
I have normal tonic available to me. I also have elderflower tonic available to me. What would you recommend?
I mean, you do have a bit of sweetness from this anyway, don't you? So the sugar kelp does give, you know, its name
it's
kind
quite
of suggests.
Buttery.
A little bit of sweetness. It gives a very kind of soft finish to the spirit as well. And you've also got licorice in there. So licorice won't give you your aniseed flavours, as we talked about before. It will give that kind of sweet flavour on the end. So I reckon a standard tonic would be better than something too sweet.
I've got standard tonic and a little bit of easy peeler because that's the fruit we had available as a garnish today.
I mean, there is orange in this, so there we go. Doing very well. So we've got juniper.
So what's in here? They've got sugar kelp, orange.
Juniper, coriander, angelica, so our holy trinity of gin botanicals. And then they've layered over the top of that the sugar kelp, cubeb, cassia, so that's like cinnamony cinnamon, orange peel and licorice.
Oh, it's so lovely.
Bloody good G&T.
It's really nice drinking neat. I think it may make amazing martini.
It does. Trust me. I mean, if there's one thing we know, it's that I love a martini. So I can attest to it being damn fine in a martini.
Okay, I'm going to lengthen.
Oh, I'm chuffed I picked something that seems popular.
Oh, it's so good.
And do you like it as well, though, Will? As well as it being popular with
I
us?
I love it.
Yay!
I love it. I'm delighted that it's so good. Yeah. I'd be sort of embarrassed if everyone was like, yeah, it's all right. But, you know, well, no, it's really nice.
Oh, we've had some where we've gone, oh, no. And I do feel bad. I do feel bad, but it's just not... I can't pretend.
The thing is, if someone listened to the podcast, we were saying, oh, it's actually quite nice, bought a bottle and went, then we've not really done our job either, have we? So you've got to be honest about these things.
Mm-hmm. But also, there is also personal taste. And we know Anya and I are really rubbish because we like our gin to be a ginny gin, a proper sort of London dry. We like the contemporary ones as long as they don't go too far. But give us a flavoured and we're like, no, go away.
Yeah, I'm the opposite of Bristol. I'm very keep it straight and narrow, please. I only want a standard gin.
I'm the same.
I've lengthened this and it is lovely.
It's really nice, isn't it?
Too quickly.
The bubbles as always bring out those kind of higher notes, the orange, the citrusy kind of, there's almost something grapefruity about the citrus there once you add your tonic to it, kind of that pithiness of a grapefruit. Grapefruit's actually there, suggested serve in a gin tonic, so a slice of red grapefruit.
So it's never anything I'd have in the house. I'd have to buy it, slice it, freeze it. Wow, it's not a bad idea. Maybe I should do that next week.
Well, then you're just going to have to buy the sugar kelp spray, then it's fine.
Oh, that's true. Anything else we need to know, Emma, about this Isle of Harris or anything else we should be doing with it, apart from my little sugar kelp spray, which I'm definitely going to have to get?
I mean, I always just keep this one simple. I feel like you don't want to mask what's going on with it. It's a really well-balanced, created, defined gin. So, yeah, just a normal tonic or a light tonic. Soda's really nice as well, but then, you know, your classic martini or something like that. Let's not throw too much at it. I think is the key.
If you were going to do a soda, would you add something else with it or just do a plain soda and a little spray?
I think just soda, because that would, with tonic you've got the bitter quinine, don't you, that can sometimes I mean, it works really well, as you guys know, you know, you've been trying it today with a tonic, but soda will just take that out and allow the gin just to shine, and that effervescence and the dilution will help some of the kind of lighter, brighter notes come out of it, so without that kind of quinine behind it.
For somebody that's always just sat with gin and tonic, like, what would you say? So I've got this bottle of gin now and we've established it's an excellent bottle. What could you recommend me to do something that's going to be like, wow, that's surprising? Like, I heard somebody saying put in ginger in it.
And, yeah, you know, so ginger ale is really nice. So gin and ginger ale. So a Canada Dry is always really nice with most gins. It worked quite well with this one. I always say a really fun thing to do is if you're normally drinking gin and tonic, drink gin and soda, but come up, like, put some lemon juice in there and then use different syrups. So whether it's elderflower cordial or a ginger syrup or something like that. And just by changing the syrup that you're putting in with that lemon juice, you could also use any other citrus, so lime or grapefruit or something like that. And you basically put one part of your citrus, just less than one part of your syrup, a little bit less if you don't like it too sweet, double shot your gin, top it up with soda, and you've got an almost endless, you know, thing of quick, easy to make sodas, especially if you've got kids and you've got loads of, you know, cordials and squashes about. Easy peasy.
So I was wondering where you're going with that, especially if you've got kids, because they love that.
So anyone been to our house? Because I got my little selection of cordials, but they're not for the children. They're for me.
They're for you. I personally love a gin and juice occasionally. Gin and orange juice.
Gin and juice. Gin and juice.
Another thing you can do, if you've got lots of fancy tea bags as well, so lots of different flavoured tea, you can get your gin, put a flavoured tea bag in it, and then lengthen it with soda. That's quite fun.
Which you could do with the blue butterfly one, couldn't you? And then it's all blue.
Yes. Do different colours.
My wife's a yoga teacher, so I have every possible herbal tea variety. I mean, every single one in the planet is, you know. We'll have to try that.
I did a really nice one the other day with some jasmine tea and then just lengthened it with soda. It was really, really nice. It kind of elevated the dry notes in the gin.
So if we were going to do the tea with this, what kind of teas do you think would pair with this kind of gin?
I think the jasmine would work really well with this one, actually. Yeah. Or something quite delicate, like a white tea or green tea or something. Mm. Something without too many. Because you've got quite a lot of umami in it.
And then you can pretend you're like doing a little health kick as well. You can be like, yeah, it's green tea, so it's really healthy.
Not first thing in the morning. You know, that's a step too far.
No, please drink responsibly.
And as ever, just lots of ice. Whatever we're drinking, tonics, sodas, everything, put lots of ice in the glass. Fill it up if the ice moves and there's more room for more ice, put more ice in it. Keep your drink colder for longer and everybody will be happy.
This is where I disagree. See,
absolutely. This is our little little tussle in the household. I'm all there going, add a bit more ice. And Anya's like, oh no, too much ice.
I have sensitive teeth. It's too cold.
But am I allowed to say the word thermodynamics? I mean...
Emma!
We're all scientists here, aren't we? And,
you're allowed to say the word, but only if you explain further.
So if you only put two ice cubes in, the ice cubes...
I put three in.
All right, three in. Then your tonic is going to... And your ice are going to get to the kind of equilibrium. That's probably with three ice cubes going to mean that those ice cubes have now turned to water. So you're now drinking gin, tonic and water.
How slowly do you think I drink my gin?
I mean, that is true. If you put the three ice cubes in and then proceed to...
Chug it.
Wadoom! Then you might be all right.
But again, drinking responsibly, we therefore want more ice. So then it's just keeping the tonic colder. Is that what you're saying?
Keeping the whole thing cold, yeah. So your ice cubes will stay in their solid form. They won't release as much water. Everything will be kept cold. Also, it means if you have one of those big kind of copper glasses that everybody loves these days, you're not going to drown your gin and tonic. That's the problem with those. They're lovely. They're great. They actually, for a gin like this, which is very aromatic on the nose, it's great. You get all of those kind of aromatic coming to the top of the glass, which is easier than it is in a highball. But you put too much tonic in, then you're not going to be able to taste your gin. But then again, Anya, we could say it depends how much gin you put in, couldn't we?
Exactly. I think on this one, we'll just agree to disagree and say that there's a way to drink gin that keeps you happy, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
And is that Monday nights?
Yeah. Monday,
to
Tuesday,
celebrate getting through a
Wednesday.
Day.
As soon as the kids go to bed, that's it. That's the way.
Before the kids go to bed, I know you, Sarah.
To help with the routine, absolutely. You can have your milk and I'll have my gin. Okay, I think we've thoroughly tasted our Isle of Harris. And before we get lost down any other
rabbit holes of
ice and other things Brilliant. That aren't the topic we are talking about today, we need to let Emma go. Thank you, Emma. Yes. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Lovely to meet you.
Bye.
Thanks, Emma. Bye. Well, that was the gin thoroughly tasted.
I feel like I've tasted it perhaps a little too much, and Tuesday Booze Day might turn into Wine Wednesday tomorrow.
Well, you've got to save some of that gin for Friday when we can have the rest of the conversation with our guest.
I'm looking forward to it.
At least we've tasted and we know what it is that we're drinking and we know why we're drinking it. And then we could just relax with the topic.
Ah, oh, I can't wait. Sarah, in the meantime, if people need a bit more gin and topic before their Friday, where can they find us?
Oh, they can find us on social media at Topic Gin.
Lovely.
Or they could head over to our website. We're ginandtopic.com. And if they don't want to wait till Friday, they can always go and listen to some past episodes whilst they're waiting.
Brilliant. Love it. We'll see you Friday.
See you then.